It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt with your host, as your host this morning. I almost said your hostess with the mostest because that's what Monica says and it's stuck in my brain, but she's the hostess with the mostest. I'm just the host. Monica's over there running the iPad. Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd is our guest this morning. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Always good to have you, even though the wind's blowing 100 miles an hour and we'd all rather stayed home this morning. We can come spread God's word, can't we?
We can. We'll toss it up in the air and let the wind take it wherever it needs to take it.
That's right. That's right. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower@cable1.net, or you can post it right on our Facebook page. About halfway through the program, we'll stop and pray for your needs or praise with you. Our Facebook sponsor today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries, right here in the Promise Center. We appreciate each one of our sponsors so very much. We do record in two parts, and after the program's over, it'll be posted on our website, therockchristianmusic.com. So if you have a friend that doesn't have Facebook, send them there, have them click on the Hour of Power, and then click on Wednesday to hear Pastor Dwight's message. Or you could just take your iPhone or your iPad over to their house and share with them that way. There's lots of ways you can get the word out to your friends and to people that need to hear this message today. I think I've covered everything. Would you pray to start us out?
I will. Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for another opportunity to gather together in your name. Father, there's only three of us right now in this room, but Father, where you said it, two or more gather, you're there. So we welcome you, Jesus, to this studio room today. We welcome you to lead and guide and direct everything that's said and done here. We pray your blessing upon our equipment. We pray your blessing upon our listeners, Father God. I thank you for each one who takes the time to tune in this morning, take the time to share what they hear, Father God. I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would speak to us in such a way that awakens our heart and stirs us to faith. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone today that hears this message, Lord God, that just needs that pull toward you, that assurance that you love them, that you desire their fellowship, Father, I pray today would be their divine appointment day to completely surrender to your will. We pray your will be done in everything today. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 And so, your title today is?
Faith Comes.
Faith Comes. By hearing?
Probably so.
I heard that once in the scripture.
If you've been around me very often, you have probably, I don't know, Monica might be able to answer this even better than I can. She's heard me preach a few hundred times, at least. I don't know that I ever preach that at some point in preaching that I don't say. And Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm. That's a scripture that's so embedded in me. Because what do, as Christians, how do we live? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, I want to please God. Well, you're not going to please God if you don't trust God. You don't please God by doing all the do's and don'ting all the don'ts. You please God by trusting God, by having a relationship with God. That's what Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. He came to establish a relationship. Mm-hmm. There was plenty of religion in the world when Jesus came. And to be honest, if you read the gospel, some of the people that had the hardest time understanding and accepting and receiving the things that God wanted to accomplish were the religious people. It seemed that the tax collectors and the prostitutes had a better idea of what Jesus came for than the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, which were the religious leaders of Jesus' day. But I want you, if you got a chance, get in your Bible, open your Bible up to Romans 10:17, because I believe that it's important that not only do we remember that word, obviously I can quote Romans 10:17 in my sleep. But I still want to put my eyes on it, and I'm going to use my phone Bible. And if you don't have the YouVersion app in your smartphone, you should. Your smartphone ain't near as smart as it could be. Mm-hmm. But you can download that for free. It's YOUVersion. Looks like a little brown Bible with a yellow cross on it. That's the one out of all of them that are available for free on the online in the App Store. I don't care if you got an Android or Apple. In my personal opinion, that is by far the best. You can look at like 20 different translations of the Bible. You can have reading plans. It's just a wonderful gift that God allowed Life Church to sponsor and give out to throughout the whole world. I don't remember now. I think they're approaching close to 1 billion downloads of the Bible app worldwide. What a gift, huh? What a wonderful gift. God bless Life Church. Amen. Romans 10:17 says, "Now faith cometh by hearing," this is King James Version, "and hearing by the word of God." Now, I don't want you to mistake that, to think that faith comes by, you have to be hearing with your physical ears and listening to somebody preach in order to get faith, because that's not what it's saying. It is possible to receive and get faith while someone like myself or your pastor or whoever you're listening to, they're preaching the word of God. Now, if it's not word of God, it's not going to create God kind of faith. Now, I want to tell you something on the flip side of faith. Faith is just, I'm going to call faith believing trust today. Faith is believing trust. I believe it and I trust in that. I believe it and I trust in that. You know, I looked on my weather app in my phone, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and you know, they said, "Hey, there's a big cold front coming." Before I walked out of the house today, of course, I could hear the wind blowing, but you know, because that weather app said it, I put me some warm clothes on. I was expecting it to get cold. Now, the weatherman's not always right. They're not God. But isn't it amazing how people will watch the weather and they'll just believe what the weatherman says? Or they'll watch the news report and they'll just take at face value what the news report says. Well, what I want you to get you to see is this. You need to take what God says at face value. Without questioning what God says, just accept it as the truth. And if you can't adjust yourself to what it's saying just right off the bat, let it work in you. Don't try to make the Word of God fit your mold. You get yourself where you can fit into the Word of God's mold, if you wanted to call it that. In other words, let me say it differently. Doing things the way God created us to do them. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. The original language would say that this way. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of Christ. The word that they translated God in King James is literally Christos, and it is, sounds like it is. It's Christ, which means anointed one and his anointing. So the anointing of the anointing one speaks to us. In other words, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Now, I want to share the Passion Translation with you on that verse. Here's what it says. I like this. It says, "Now faith is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one." Faith is birthed in the heart. Well, if it's going to be birthed in the heart, it's got to first be conceived in the heart. So we're going to have to come into that place where we become intimate with the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. We're open to the Word of God. We're receptive and receiving the Word of God. And then what does that begin to do? It begins to birth in us faith. It begins to birth in us faith. The Bible says that to each one, talking about born again people, each one is given the measure of faith. You know, you might be a look at someone. Maybe you ever see those bodybuilders, and they're all, you know, and they can flex their pecs and it bounces, and their muscles, you know, and they got all these muscles on muscles. I want you to realize something. You have the same muscles they have. Yours just aren't developed like theirs are. You have biceps. You have triceps, you have quadriceps, you have whatever seps, you know, you have lat muscles, you know, whatever. That's those ones down under here. I've learned that, you know. We have whatever. we're supposed to have muscles in our stomachs that, you know, it's like six-pack, you know, whatever. But most of us have got it insulated. you know. But those bodybuilders, why do they look so differently than we do, we normal people do? And it's simply because they have taken the time to very specifically develop that specific muscle group. And you'll see muscle builders or bodybuilders that'll focus on one particular thing for a little bit, and then another thing, whatever. I mean, just, but you don't see any of them going around that's like the only thing they care about is their right bicep. So all they ever do is do curls, and they got this big, huge right arm, and then the rest of their body is just like, what? You know, they don't do that. They try to develop all over, but they put out the effort to develop that. Now, I want to tell you this, your faith, sometimes people will go, man, I wish I had faith like brother such and such or sister so and so. And then we look at someone in the body of Christ that we perceive to have great faith, and we'll go, man, I wish I had faith like them. And here's the truth. You, as a born-again person, do have faith like them. They just may have developed their faith more than you have developed yours. And it does take time. It does take time to develop your faith. But time alone, listen to me, time alone does not develop your faith. You know, I heard this funny about pastor one time. He said, you know, I don't mind ministering to spiritual babies at all. It's just when I got to part their old gray whiskers to get the bottle in their mouth that bothers me. And he wasn't talking about the chronological age. He's talking about this. You could be saved for 50 years and you could still literally be an infant in your faith. Because, you know, as a human being in our physical, natural realm, if we don't grow, we die. But in the spiritual realm, I mean, sometimes in a spiritual realm, if you don't grow, you die. But sometimes, too, you do just barely enough to maintain. I want to say this, and I don't mean this to be hurtful, and I by no means am attacking church people. I mean, I'm a pastor. But there are a lot of people that go to church, and church alone is enough to keep that Band-aid, that status quo, where they feel good enough about themselves, and they do believe in Jesus, and they do belong to Jesus, but they're not growing and yearning. Am I right? I mean, can I get a witness on that? I mean, we all see that. We see that, and that's sad. It doesn't mean that they're not saved. It doesn't mean that they're not going to heaven, but I want to tell you something. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4 says this, that our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You got to live in this world your whole life. Whether that's a long, 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 long one or a not so long one, the whole time you're going to be here, you're living in this world, you can live a victorious, overcoming, faith-filled, joyous life. Does that mean you're not going to have problems? No, you're, let me quote Jesus, in this life you shall have tribulation. Mm-hmm. Like, oh boy, don't we know that? But he said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Well, that's great for you, Jesus. What about me? Your faith is what overcomes the world, but you're going to have to develop that faith, and you're going to have to use it. I mean, I could carry Neva's credit card around in my wallet all day long, but if I never pull it out to buy stuff, I don't get nothing.
Mm-hmm. Trust me, you would, though.
Oh, I would. I don't know what the max is, but we'd find out. You know, no, we wouldn't.
Just kidding.
That. We wouldn't do that. But, you know, the point is God gives us faith, but we have to use it. Four times in the Bible, twice in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament, God said the just or the righteous shall live by faith. He didn't say just have it. He said, yeah, live by it. So faith is going to come by hearing the word from God, not just the word of God. Now, anytime you read the Bible or you hear the Bible preached or just hear the Bible read, faith is present. The word of God encapsulates faith. But it's when that word, something, and you know what I'm talking about, because you wouldn't be listening to me if you didn't know this. Either that or you're just hungry and want to know this. But when you're reading the Bible, a lot of times you're reading and it's, okay. And then all of a sudden, something will go, whoa, something will just jump off that page and it'll hit you right where you live. You go, wow, I don't wonder why I never saw that before. That sounds like it was written to me today. That's the rhema word that I'm talking about. That's the word when it comes alive. Now, what you got to do with that is when you feel like the Lord brings that to your attention, you grab a hold of it. You take it as my own. You say, the Lord said to me today. And then, I'll tell you one of the most powerful things I've ever learned as a Christian, and I did not know this growing up. I did not know this at all. I didn't know that we as Christians had the ability to just hear God talking to us. I didn't know that. I mean, I remember knowing about, you know, God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, and he died on the cross, and he rose from the dead, and he ascended to heaven, and now we need to do good. We need to go to church. We need to, you know, don't lie, don't steal, don't this, and, you know. But I don't remember being taught about an intimacy with Jesus where the Holy Spirit himself would speak to you and lead you and talk to you. But I don't know why. I'm sure they probably taught it, and I was just probably sleeping that day. I don't know. But in John chapter 10, if you'd like to turn there, John chapter 10, we're hitting the 10 today, Roman 10, John 10. Jesus begins to talk about, in this passage, being the good shepherd. And I think we're all blessed by thinking of our Savior Jesus as a shepherd, because we all know Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I don't want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Well, here's a question for you. How does he lead you? Have you ever had the Lord literally grab a hold of you and pull you along? Not likely. Not likely. Jesus is going to lead you. Let's see how he leads us. 10:1. John 10:1. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs up by some other way, is a thief and a robber. And the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, and the watchman opens the gate to him, and the sheep listen to his voice. The sheep do what? They listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. I'm going to tell you something about the leading of God. It's always going to be real personal. And God will speak to you about things that, in a cultural way, that you get it. And he'll speak to you, if you're a hard-headed person like I am, he will speak to you in ways that he will not speak to a real tender-hearted person. Some of the things, the way the Lord has spoken to me and led me throughout the years, if he said those very things to my wife, who's more sensitive and tender-hearted than I am, and more sensitive and tender-hearted to him, it would break her down. But he knows how to talk to me. He calls me by name. He knows how to talk to me. He knows how to talk to you. He knows who you are, where you are, and how you think. And he will customize what he has to say to minister just to you. He said he knows each sheep. He calls his own by name, and he leads them out. Now, in verse 4, when he's brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. Why do they follow him? Because they know his voice. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What if you don't know his voice? Well, then you're not likely to follow. And if you're not following Jesus, you're probably following something that you don't need to follow. And we've all been there. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that they that are not born again are literally led about by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who's at work in those who are disobedient. It's a bad spirit. It's not God's spirit. When we're not born again, we're being led about. We just don't know it. We think we're the ones calling all the shots. See, that's the whole thing about, when you're unsaved, you think, well, I'm not ready to give up control of my life. I want to do what I want to do. You know, no. And that's why you're in such a mess. But the truth is, you don't get in a mess by yourself. You're being led one way or the other. The question is, it's not whether you're going to be led or not. That's not even optional. You and I were created. Now, you probably aren't going to like this if you're not surrendered to Jesus. But I believe you probably are. You wouldn't be listening to me. But we were created to be lorded over. We were not created to be our own God. We're created in the image of God, but we're not created to be God. We're created that Jesus would be the Lord over us. That, I mean, we were made that way. And if we're not letting him be Lord, something else will be. And there are a lot of people out there today living like they think they're the ones calling the shots, but in reality, they're not. Jesus said he speaks to his own sheep, and he calls them by voice, and he leads them out, and they follow him because they know his voice. And then he said in verse 5, but they'll never follow the voice of a stranger. In fact, they'll run away because they don't recognize the stranger's voice. In a way, I'd like to see a different translation of that. I kind of like to see it say it this way. They won't follow the stranger because they recognize the stranger's voice as a stranger's voice. It's not saying they don't recognize the stranger's voice. These sheep that won't follow the stranger, it's saying they don't recognize the shepherd's, the stranger's voice as the voice of their shepherd. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The enemy, Satan, he is clever, boy. He tries his best to disguise his voice and to impersonate the Lord, impersonate the Holy Spirit. He'll try to fool you and he'll try to trick you. Have you ever had that happen? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, over and over. But there's always something about it in there. There's just always something about it that doesn't quite fit. Even when Satan was trying to tempt Jesus, when Jesus was on this earth, it's recorded in the fourth chapter of several of the Gospels, Luke 4, Mark 4. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and he was led there for a purpose. He was fasting, fasted 40 days, and then the tempter came to try to tempt him. And here's the devil shows up and goes, if you're really the Son of God, turn these stones to be made into bread. And Jesus quoted the word back to him, said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, if here's my translation of that. If God didn't tell me to do it, I'm not authorized to do it. Had Jesus spoken to those stones, I'm not sure if anything would have happened or not. But it would have either looked like Jesus was a failure because he spoke and it didn't happen, or he would have been speaking something because Lucifer told him to do it, not God. So he would have been submitting himself to that. And that was the trick the devil was trying to play on him. And finally, the devil just revealed his true colors, and he goes, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all these kingdoms. That's what he was after the whole time. That's what he's after all the time. He's always trying to get us to put him in charge of us. And I'm gonna, let me tell you why. Sharon shared this last night during our time of Tuesday night intercession and worship some. She said this. She said, Father God, Creator God, spoke the world into existence. But the crowning pinnacle of all his creation was when he spoke us into existence. When he created with his own hands man in his own image and then breathed into mankind the breath of life, the spark of God himself. And from that point on, he gave Adam and then Eve dominion over the earth, complete and total dominion. He said, rule over everything there is. Well, how do they have dominion? How do they rule over things? The same way God does, by speaking. And so, listen, Lucifer was an angel that was created by God for the purpose of worship. The Bible tells us that pride entered his heart, and he thought to himself he could ascend to the throne of God. He literally thought he could become God. And he deceived one-third of the angels who followed him in a rebellion against Father God, Creator God, and he tried to take over heaven, but he's not God. So God, who is God, the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth and all things, cast that little angel out of heaven along with those angels that followed him in his rebellion. And Satan's been cast to the earth, but he is not a creator class being. You and I are created in the image of human beings. We're created in the image of God. Now, I want you to think about something for a second. There are animals, very, very few. I think parrots, some cockatiels, some birds are the only ones I know of that have the ability to mimic the human voice. But they mimic the human voice. They don't speak with a human voice because they're not human. They're not created like we are. You know, I could teach a pet parrot to quote the Word of God. I could teach him to quote it. But when he quotes the Word of God, that parrot, it would not have the power on it that it has on it when you quote it. Because that parrot does not have the ability to have faith. That parrot is not created in the image of God. What makes your words powerful is when your words are faith-filled words. Now, we've all said words, lots of words. You've been around me, you know, well, that guy can talk. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. It's because I'm making up for when I was a little kid. When I was a little kid, I was very shy, and I didn't talk very much, so I'm making up for it now. Holy Spirit got on me, and I lost my shyness, and so for the most part. I could teach that parrot to quote the Word of God, but when he speaks it, he's just mimicking. So when Satan was tempting, when Lucifer was tempting Jesus, he also took the Word of God in his mouth. And he said this, he said, throw yourself off the pinnacle of this temple, because it's written that God has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all their ways. They'll bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He quoted Psalms 91, verse 12. He literally quoted it. The devil quoted it. It had no power in it when he quoted it. Because faith doesn't come and word without hearing from God. And words without hearing from God carry no faith. You see, I wonder why when we prayed, it just don't happen. The prayer offered in faith will work. But in order for me to have faith, I've got to hear from God. And I've got to hear from God. It's not faith comes by having heard from God. And it's certainly not faith comes by having ignored what God said. I have to not only hear it, and I don't mean just hear it with my ears. It's got to go way deeper than that. It's got to, maybe you hear it with your ears. Maybe you hear it with your eyes. Maybe you don't hear it either one. Maybe I'm not reading something when the Lord speaks to me. Maybe I'm not listening to something when the Lord speaks to me. But he just speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks directly into my spirit. And he reminds me of something that, I guarantee you this, if it comes from God, you can back it up with the written word. If you can't back it up with the written word, I would question that it comes from God. I would just flat out say, I doubt that it comes from God. Because God gave us this written word as the confirmation of everything he ever would say. But he's still speaking today. And faith is still coming today. And Jesus, the good shepherd, is still leading his sheep today. Now, those religious people that were there that day, they just didn't really get it. Jesus said the sheep will follow because they know his voice and they'll never follow a stranger. And Jesus used this figure of speech, it says in verse 6 there of John's Gospel, 10th chapter. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling. And therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep, and all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I'm the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come. I like that, but I have come. But I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly, or have it to the fullness that God intended. Now, how are you going to have the life that God intended? The thief is going to always try to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. He's always going to try to do that. Remember, if you didn't get this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, we're not going to focus on the thief because he's defeated. We're going to focus on the one who defeated him. The thief may come only to steal, kill, and destroy, but that's not the relevant part. I can focus on whichever part of this voice I want to focus. And the truth is, Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, how am I going to have that life? Well, without faith, you're not going to have that life. And how's faith going to come? By hearing, by hearing, by hearing. Faith, remember this, faith hasn't come by having heard. I can't live any more off of last year's faith than I could off of last year's steak and potatoes. Mm-hmm. I need that constant, that fresh word. Now, that doesn't mean that when God speaks something to me last year that I just let it, I use it that day, and then I just let it go. It's gone. It's not true anymore. No. I take what he spoke to me then. I retain it. I use it. I retain it. But then I keep building on it. I keep letting God build on that. Line upon line, precept upon precept. The reason why God can't take some people into, I don't know whether they call it bigger or deeper or whatever realms of faith, because it's not about the size of your faith. It's about the quality of your faith that really matters. Do you really totally trust what God says? And so, but the reason why I think some people can't go further in their faith is because they don't build on. They may get faith nuggets and they'll use it a minute and get out of the crisis, but then it's right back to not living by faith. And to live by faith is a lifestyle. It's not something you just do when you're having a crisis. You probably heard foxhole faith, crisis Christianity, you know, whatever. That's where you have those short bursts of faith. Maybe you remember when Jesus was in the the disciples were in a boat and Jesus was walking on the water in the midst of a horrible storm, and they saw him and they were terrified. But then Peter said, Jesus said, if it's me, you know, don't be afraid, it's me. And Peter said, if it's really you, then invite me to come out on the water. Jesus said, well, come on. He actually said, come, one word, come. This is how powerful one word from God is. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, come to a mortal man. Peter said, call me out to walk with you on the water. And Jesus said, come. One word. A mortal man stepped out of a physical boat onto H2O, physical water, and walked on top of it until he took his eyes off of the source of his faith. He quit looking at Jesus. He started looking at the waves. He started looking at the wind, and he began to sink, the Bible says. He didn't just go kerplunk. He slowly began to sink. I'm going to tell you something. You can be walking in faith, because that's what Peter was really walking by. He was walking on water, but it was faith that was holding him up. Faith in that one word, come. Jesus said it. I believe it. I can do it. I receive it. I'm all about it. You know, he stepped out of the boat and began to walk. And he was fine until he let the wind and the waves take his focus off what God had said. I'm going to tell you something. It's, you know, if you're there, you're going, hey, Peter, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter if the lake is completely glass flat because there's no wind blowing whatsoever and it's a beautiful sunshiny day. That is liquid water and you can't walk on it. And it doesn't matter if it's flat liquid water or if it's wavy liquid water and you're being blown around like you're in a hurricane. It's irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant. I want you to get this before we take our break. The circumstances that are trying to take your faith out of your heart, those circumstances are irrelevant unless you let them be relevant. What the enemy throws at you is completely irrelevant unless you let it take your eyes off of what God told you. And then, like Peter, you'll begin to sink. But the good news is he began to sink, and he said, oh, I'm dying, I'm perishing. And Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up out of the water, and then he looked at him and said this. He said, oh, you of little faith. Little faith? He just walked on the water all the way to you, Jesus. He was right there in front of you when it began to sink, because it doesn't say Jesus ran over and rescued him. It says Jesus stuck his hand out. He was literally right there. You know, a lot of times we're right to the point of our breakthrough when we let the wind and the waves take our eyes off of what the Lord said, and we fail to receive, we fail to reach the goal, and then we wonder, why didn't God do it? I thought it was going to happen. God was doing it until you gave up. Amen. That might ouch, but it'll help you. Don't give up. In due season, we will reap if we don't give up. You can't give up what God said to you. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about what Jesus meant when he said, ye of little faith. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to believe God. So get your prayer request to us.